continue with our song service. Luke chapter 1, verse number 35 says, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." It's good to be in the Lord's house today. Brother Marston, would you open us in a word of prayer?
Take your hymn books, turn to hymn number 429, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Yeah.
stand once again. We'll sing hymn number 426, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. 26, standing as we sing.
That silent night, when your tiny heart started beating for mine, I wish I could have seen the star in David's town, when you turned the stable into holy ground, I'd sing along angel's song, Noel, Noel, Jesus is alive, Emmanuel, hope is here tonight, so go and tell the world that death has died, 'cause Jesus is alive, yes, Jesus is alive. The God who made us all with these two little hands is bringing us his kingdom quiet as a lamb. Oh, such amazing grace, a divine mystery. This Savior in a manger changes everything. That's why we sing. Noel, Noel, Jesus is alive, Emmanuel, hope is here tonight. So go and tell the world that death has died, 'cause Jesus is alive, yes, Jesus is alive. Sin, you have no sting, hell, you have no power, curse you are no more. This is your final hour, because the Son of God has not left us alone. He'll live and die and rise again, and then he'll bring us home. The old will pass away, and we will become new. This baby boy is making all sad things untrue. Noel, Noel, Jesus is alive. Emmanuel, hope is here tonight. So go and tell the world that death has died. Noel, Noel, Jesus is alive. Emmanuel, hope is here tonight. So go and tell the world that death has died, 'cause Jesus is alive. Yes, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive.
Thank you. Oh, come, all you unfaithful, come, weak and unstable, come, no, you are not alone. Oh, come, barren and waiting ones, weary of praying, come, see what your God has done. Christ is born, Christ is born, Christ is born for you. Oh, come, bitter and broken, come, with fears unspoken, come, taste of his perfect love. Oh, come, guilty and hiding ones, there is no need to run. See what your God has done. Christ is born, Christ is born, Christ is born for you. He's the Lamb who was given, slain for our part. His promise is peace for those who believe. He's the Lamb who was given, slain for our pardon. His promise is peace for those who so come, though you have nothing, come, he is the offering, come, see what your God has done. Christ is born, Christ is born, Christ is born.
Oh, man, music's been great, hasn't it? Praise the Lord. Good to be in the Lord's house today. Listen, if you missed the cantata last night, you really ought to come back tonight. It is good, good, good stuff. And I saw it once. I'm going to get a return ticket, you know. That's the way you do. And it's amazing. We were down in Branson just this last week at a pastor's couples retreat. And we went to a show. It's amazing. Everybody wants to set to the front. So last night I come in here thinking, oh, everybody's going to want to set to the front, but it filled up in the back. So I'm telling you, the good seats are down front. People pay good money to sit down front. So just plan to come and set down front. And, you know, maybe someone will accidentally spit on you or something, and it'll be worth it, right, to come to the Lord's house. Hey, you know what? I think this Christmas tree will still really look like a real Christmas tree. Are you ready? Drum roll. It's like lighting the lights at the plaza, right? Yay! Woo! Awesome. Awesome. While I get this present here that I'm going to open, Some have asked about a situation that I encountered a week ago down in Wichita where they went into my motel room and stole all my stuff, all my electronic stuff, you know. So they went and they checked the video, and lo and behold, they got a video of the guy going in my room, walking out with all his stuff. So it's been awful trying. If you've never had your electronic stuff stolen, they also got my password book. So all my passwords were in that little book. I've told my wife for years, when I die, you've got to find this little book. It unlocks my world to you. And now I'm trying to unlock my world to me. And it's just like a mess, right? But hey, at least they got video. And I said, good, so do I file my report with you, you know, all the stuff that I've lost? Because it's like a lot of money. And they're like, well, let's let the police do something. So they're getting ready to find out about a Kansas boy that's just going to call every day to find out where the progress is going, right? Amen. You know I love Christmas. It's my favorite time of the year. I do. I love Christmas. It's just so exciting. And I'm still praying we get some snow. I know it's been awful warm, but you know, what is Christmas without snow? And a lot of it, right? So I'm just praying we get some snow. And I love presents. I'll just be honest with you, okay? I love to give presents. I've got 11 special people in my life that I love to see them light up when we give them something. It's just so amazing. Grandchildren, man, if I could have had grandchildren first, I would have skipped the kids. Gone right to the grandchildren, I'm telling you, it would have been well worth it. So anyhow, I like to give gifts, and I like to get gifts, and we talked last week about the importance of learning how to unwrap a gift, right? And so we all know that you unwrap gifts like this, right? Just like in a hurry, get right to it. And this is amazing, it's from Amazon again. I wonder what they brought me this week. Oh, this is going to be so cool. This is going to be so cool. Why don't you take your Bibles and join me for just a minute in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Our gift today is a baby. A baby. Been so cool that he's been sung about all morning long. Luke chapter 2, verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. I've been thinking about this portion of Scripture a lot this week because I knew I was going to be preaching here. And I thought about how sometimes circumstances come into our lives and we think, this is such a bummer. I don't want to have to do this. But you know, God used taxing to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. What's the importance of that? Well, the prophet had said that's where Jesus was going to be born. And so they may have been kicking the rocks. We got to go pay our taxes to Caesar. We've got to go over here. We're down here in Judea. Judea is good enough. No, you got to go to Bethlehem. And God used it all for his glory. So be careful the next time he wants something in your life. It may be because he's got something really great in store for you. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for our time together this morning. What a joy it is to be together as we think about the baby. What a precious, precious gift that you gave this earth. I pray today that you would be so real to us. Holy Spirit would have power and freedom to move in our lives and our hearts. Might you be honored and glorified in all we do. We ask these things in your name. Amen. So guess what? We just happen to have a real live baby here, and didn't want to put her in a box. Now, it is a her, not a him, but she is so precious. She is so difficult to get to. If you want to hold her, you know, it's like take a number and you won't ever get one. It's like that. I stand and I wait and I wait and I wait, and there's days go by I never get to touch her. But when I do, and she's so precious. Yeah, I look out there, tell us all about it. You're up in front of everybody at church. Uh-huh, you sure are. Babies are the coolest. Absolute best. Puppies are okay. My wife, she's got this deal about dachshunds. If she could, she'd have a herd. She'd have 30 or 40 of them. Two is a little too much for me, but I take a baby any day, until they need their mama, right? Then I'll gladly give them back, okay? But she's so precious, and I just wanted to just be mindful of how precious a baby is, how things look so different in their eyes. And you know, as I love children. Children are amazing. I love to see the world through children's eyes. Now, most of you know I love snow, right? And so we had a snowfall one time, and it was pretty substantial. I think it was 8 to 10 inch snowfall that we'd had. We haven't had one of those in years. But we had this beautiful snow, and one of the children in the church went up to their dad, and they said this. They said, "So, Dad, when the snow is over, at what time does God add the diamonds on top of the snow?" Isn't that amazing? Kids' insight, just the way they see life. And so many times in our life, it gets so cut and dry and hurry and ugly and dirty and oh, to be a kid, oh, to be a baby that's loved and cared for. Like this little girl, Paisley. So precious. She's just coming around now. Before long, she'll be running to church and terrorizing everything and just be so wonderful. And so we think about a baby. I'm going to get my notes up here. And we think about the fact that Mary had her firstborn son. Now, this is important for us to remember because Jesus is a fulfillment of prophecy, okay? And so, of course, it's her firstborn son, because the prophet Isaiah says of Jesus in Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, and behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." You know, she wasn't just some young lady. She wasn't just some young girl who had maybe had her morals stolen from her. She was a chosen vessel of God. And that she conceived was of God. Matter of fact, I love the way Matthew wrote it. Matthew 1 in verse number 18. He says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Of the Holy Ghost. Matthew goes on in verse number 20 of the same chapter and says, "But while he thought," referring to Joseph, "while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." So she wasn't some immoral girl. She wasn't some girl who had been out on the side and involved in an activity she shouldn't. She was pure and clean. She was a virgin who had never known a man. And here she was engaged to her husband, going through the process of engagement, and the Holy Ghost has come upon her, and the angel revealed to her that she was going to be the vessel used of the Lord to bring the chosen one to this earth. The Creator, I love this thought as I was writing it down, the Creator of the universe being carried by the created, then even cared for by the created, and loved by the created. Can you imagine Mary's life? I mean, here she was, she a child of God, someone who grew up knowing the scriptures, someone who grew up knowing about even the coming of the Messiah, a created being like we are. And yet she is chosen to be the vessel to bring the creator of the world. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. She was the vessel to carry the creator, the created carrying the creator, to care for the creator. You know how it is, mamas. When you look at your baby, it doesn't matter how squished their head and all that stuff. They're the most prettiest baby you've ever seen, right? I see it. I get it. They're the prettiest baby you've ever seen. And you love them. You care for them. And it's, you know, it starts out, it's not a chore, right? Especially when they're early on, you know, the first, like, day. such a joy to finally see that little baby you've carried for 9 months. I see Crystal, and I'm thinking, boy, I can't wait to see this little baby get here. I know she's going to have a lot of love, and I just watch Crystal and how she's carrying her around, and there'll be that time when she'll be like this, and she'll be able to look at her, and she'll go, look at what I carried for those 9 months. Look at the gift that God has given me. So she wouldn't fit in the box. She doesn't deserve to be in a box. She's way too pretty for that. And thank you, Brother Stephen and Miss Reagan, for allowing me to hold precious Paisley. Love you, baby girl. All right. Let's see what else in the box. This is a gift that kind of like keeps on giving, right? So, Well, the Bible talks about swaddling clothes. Kind of interesting when you do a study on swaddling clothes. I know that, you know, we have our 21st swaddling clothes, and you can buy the swaddling outfits and all that kind of stuff. But we're talking about Bible times swaddling clothes. You couldn't just get on Amazon and order you some swaddling clothes. So when you do a study of Mideastern times, you'll find that usually it was almost like a receiving blanket of sorts, and then they had strips of cloth that they would use then to tie the child tightly. And it was many different things. I've read reports about the fact that it was, it's kind of very helpful to keep a child from having SIDS, the swaddling clothes, to be held tight. The Orient, when they used it, they felt like, I'll just read you the quote. It says, swaddling clothes were strips of cloth used to keep a baby warm, and it gives a sense of security. They were believed to protect its internal organs. The custom of swaddling infants is still practiced in many Mideastern countries. And so the swaddling clothes. Now, I heard a sermon a couple of years ago, and it was pretty interesting when I heard it. I was pretty excited about it. They were talking about swaddling clothes were also the same thing that were used at death to wrap a body with. But I did some research on that, and like some preaching that's out there, it cannot be proven that that was actually the way. So it may make good preaching, but there's not really any facts to back that up, okay? And if I preach that, I'm sorry, because I didn't think so. But anyhow, so Google just brings us all kinds of information. One thing I did find out about swaddling, especially in the Old Testament, was there was an interview that was done with a Levitical priest, and the Levitical priest that was being interviewed said this. I saw it online, and he said this. He said that they believe that the sheep that were on the hillside, that the angels came to, the shepherds and the sheep that were there, that because it was so close to Bethlehem and the time of year that it was, that they were more in awe, they believed them to be sheep that were being prepared for temple sacrifice. And so the shepherds would carry with them swaddling cloths, and whenever a sheep would get a little bit of damage or whatever, they would go and tie it up so that those sheep could be without blemish and without harm. That's kind of interesting when you think about the fact that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who comes to give himself perfect and without blemish for the sins of all mankind. That's some good preaching right there, but that's not where we're going to stop. Regardless, Christ was wrapped in swaddling clothes, as the Bible tells us. And then he was laid in a manger. Someone's nativity scene's missing baby Jesus. That's such a bummer when baby Jesus goes missing. But the manger, and of course we have that one right there, but it wouldn't fit in a box either. Lying in a manger. Jesus was born in a stable. A stable. Now this is really good. Brother Charles did a great job last night as he was preaching at the close of the cantata. He was born in a stable. He was laid in a manger instead of a cradle. You know, I've watched moms, and of course my wife, having been a mom three times, I've watched as the progression of the pregnancy moved along. All of a sudden there becomes this urgency. What starts out as kind of dreaming, well, you know, I want this to be the baby's room, and I want it to be this color, and I want to get this kind of furniture, and, you know, everything needs to be this and that, and we want this to be and that to be, and, you know, all that's put in line. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, that baby's going to be born in 2 days. We need this. We need to get a cradle up. We need to have this. We need to have that, blah, blah, and all that laid in line. But can you imagine as Joseph how wonderful it would have been? Well, I'm taking Mary here to Bethlehem. I got out of putting that cradle together, didn't I? And they get to town, and they're like, Mary's like, where's that cradle? Why didn't you get another donkey and put the cradle on the back of that other donkey? But they get there to town, no place to stay. There's a manager of a local Best Western from Brooklyn. I don't know how he got there. He says, well, he goes, I don't have a room, but I've got a stable. You can stay in the stable. Go to the stable. Stables are really cool places if you like animals. They go to the stable, animalish. They clean off a spot. There's the manger. Undoubtedly, they put some fresh hay in it, I hope. And waiting for baby Jesus to come. No new cradle, no new rocking devices. It's kind of amazing to me as I see babies being born today. And, you know, back in the day when we had kids, the best, newest thing was the swing. And you had to crank it. And so you go crank, 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 crank. And you'd kind of get the baby swinging. And about the time they got calmed down, it would quit swinging. They'd go to crying again. You have to run back over, crank, 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 crank. And then they got the one that you plugged in and it just ran all the time. Boy, that would have been nice to have. You know, just that would have been great instead of having to get up. Now they got the little seats, you know, and they kind of, they do all kinds of weirdo stuff now. But Jesus had none of that. He was just laid in a manger. Some believe it was to speak of the poverty of his parents. I think it spoke of the lowliness and the humility with which Jesus came to this earth. Amen. He didn't come with fanfare, trumpet blowing, be born in a castle someplace. He was born in a manger. Speaking of his fact that he was for all mankind. He wasn't limited to the rich and the wealthy. He wasn't limited to those who had lots of money and stuff. He came of the lowliest to give himself a ransom for many. Matthew Henry writes this, he said, it was an instance of the humiliation of our Lord Jesus. We were become by sin like an outcast infant, helpless and forlorn. And such a one Christ was. Thus he would answer the type of Moses, the great prophet and lawgiver of the Old Testament, who was in his infancy cast out in an ark of bulrushes, as Christ in a manger. Christ would hereby put a contempt upon all worldly glory and teach us to slight it. Since his own received him not, let us not think it strange if they receive us not. Jesus came, born of lowly means, come that all mankind might be saved. There was no room in the inn. Think of the rejected Christ. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. But the irony was that he did not rest his head in the king's palace. He would not have been worthy of his birth. If it were not for him, there would not have existed an earth at all. The very people within the inn owned their very existence to him. Christ had come so that man might live with God. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. I wonder if when Jesus left the glories of heaven to come and to live inside of Mary and then be born, I wonder if he didn't tell the angels, hey, I'm going to do a work that only I can do. And then as he left the presence of God the Father, he came to this earth. Amen. I go to prepare a place for you. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful that Jesus came to pay a price for me that I might have a place in heaven for all of eternity. So the reason for his exclusion, no room, too crowded with others, no place left for him. Had they known, surely they would have made room. Had they known. Think what the innkeeper missed. He could have hosted the Son of God. Throughout all of history, you know, he could have put a sign out in front of his place from then on. Jesus was born in our bedroom. Amen. Come see the place. Come see the... That'd be $50. Come see the place. I'm telling you, people would be lined up. They'd be taking trips to Israel right now to see the bedroom that Jesus was born in. He could have known for the rest of history that he had done a noble deed. He would be spoken of, maybe even mentioned by name in the scripture. But he did not realize it was the Son of God. So where does that leave us, preacher? Well, Jesus came to this earth for one intense purpose. That was to die in your place for your sins. Amen. He died for my sins. I'm so glad he did. Without his death on the cross of Calvary, none of us could go to heaven. But because of his death on Calvary, heaven will be our eternal home if we accept that gift of salvation. Amen. So here's where we're at today. You're the innkeeper. Jesus is here. What do you do with him? I'm talking about the innkeeper of your heart. What do you do with Jesus? Does he live inside you? Do you know him as Savior? If you were to die right now, do you know that heaven would be your eternal home? See, I talk with people all the time, and I hear this reply when I ask them, so if you were to die right now, do you know heaven would be your eternal home? Oh, I hope so. I think so. Friend, I know so. Why do you know so, preacher? Because the Bible says we accept him as our Lord and Savior. We are saved and on our way to heaven. Amen. That we are safe in the Master, in Jesus' hand, and then in God's hand, and no one can ever pull us out. Amen. Hallelujah. For the safety and security of the Scripture. Is Jesus your Savior? Don't be an innkeeper today and say, oh, Jesus, I'll wait a little longer. I'll wait a little longer. I've gotten by this long, Jesus. I've got a few more years of living. I'll wait and I'll accept you then. The sad tragedy is that you could get COVID tomorrow, be in a hospital by the end of the week on a ventilator, and never think about the most important decision that you would ever make, that is asking Jesus to be your Savior. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to act upon it. Jesus Christ leaving the glories of heaven, coming to this earth, allowing himself to be born as a baby in a dirty manger that he might prove his humility, that he might prove his heart, comes and lives among man for 33 years, ends up on the cross of Calvary to die for our sins, that heaven might be our eternal home. And we sit here today as an innkeeper, and we might say, no, not today. Jesus, I've got a little room for you in the back of the inn in a stable, but I don't have room for you in my heart. Today, you need to make room in your heart.
Amen.
Today, Jesus needs to be your Savior. What a baby. What a baby Jesus was. Lord Jesus, we love you today, and we thank you for the truth of your word. I pray to God that you would move in our lives and our hearts, and the Holy Spirit might have freedom to do your will in our midst. Lord, if there be one here that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day I pray that they might come. Let's take a Bible and share with them from the Word of God how they can know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. Not to put him off any longer. Not to put Jesus in the stable. Not to put Jesus out of our life when it's not convenient. But God, today might we accept that free gift of salvation. Today might we know for sure we're saved and on our way to heaven. Take this invitation, use it for your honor and your glory. Let you be glorified through it all. We love you and we ask these things in your wonderful and most precious name. Amen. Would you stand with me today? Brother Foster is going to lead us in I'll Live for Him. It's hymn 317. God's spoken to your heart today. Encourage you to come. The altar's open.
My life I love, I give to thee. Thou Lamb of God who died for me. Oh, may I ever faithful be, my Savior and my God. I'll live for him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for him who died for me, my Savior and my God. I now believe thou dost receive, for thou hast died that I might live. And now henceforth I trust in thee, my Savior and my God. I'll live for him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for him who died for me, my Savior and
and give us our announcements. Lord bless you for being here. Be back tonight, 6 o'clock. It won't let you down. I promise it'll be a great time.
All right. Praise the Lord for last week for the Christmas missions offering. Thank you for all who were involved in that. We were able to raise over $5,800 to be a blessing to the missionaries sent out of our church. Officer nominations will continue on until next week, and so there are nomination papers in the back, and Pastor kind of explained how that will go. There's also a piece of paper if you're interested in how the officers work and what their roles are. There's also a piece of paper that outlines those on the back table as well. A ladies' Christmas party on Thursday, December the 16th at 7 p.m., and so bring a snack and a $10 gift for an exchange, and then the daughters and the girls are welcome to attend as well. Ghosts and Christmas, we'd like to be a blessing to them, and that will be next week. We'll be collecting the Walmart or Visa gift cards, and so I hope that you'll plan to be involved with that. And then also, I'd appreciate if you helped with church cleaning, and so there's a sign-up sheet in the back, and praise the Lord for all those that have already signed up. Thank you for being involved that way. We'll close in a word of prayer. Brother Stephen, if you would.